Hey, everybody. I guess I'm going to call this one Talk Bigfoot Episode 2.5, because it's not the episode with Lori Phillips that we have coming up this weekend. It's more of it's Mojo and John checking in from the field, and I just wanted to put it up so everybody could hear what they're up to.
Hey, PK, it's Mojo.
Hey, Mojo. Hold on, let me cut the sound off of my computer.
Okay. Are we doing this on a live podcast, or are we just recording?
It's just recording, yeah.
Oh, recording, okay.
So, you guys found a track already?
Yeah, Rusty and I were walking along the forest road leading up to our camp, and we were just kind of looking at the road for tracks because the woods itself doesn't, unless you find some mud, it's not conducive to leaving tracks because of the soft, spongy forest floor from all the, you know, fir needles and stuff that settled down. So it's hard to find tracks unless you find them in the mud. This is on the thin layer of mud on the hardpack forest road leading up here. And at first we were thinking maybe it was a boot, and then but the area where the toes were was really wide, and you can almost see some outline of some toes. A little bit hard to tell because it's such a thin layer of mud. So then we found a heel strike 60 inches, 5 feet from the track that we found. And so we figured that stride was about 5 feet. I guess it was came from the same set of feet.
The toes show up pretty well in the picture that you sent me.
But, yeah, we had to get the lighting just right to see detail.
Yeah.
So I took many pictures from different angles, and John got a flashlight and shined it along the area where the toes are to try to get a better light.
So mm-hmm.
Eventually, the sun came out a little bit. We actually got a pretty good picture, pretty good few pictures of it. So yeah, I was kind of excited.
Yeah, I bet. I would have been. That's a big ass footprint to just be out there.
It's not the biggest in the world, but you know, people say it's too small to be a Bigfoot track. Well, Bigfoot don't come out of the womb 9 feet tall. They grow from infants and they get older, and their feet grow too. So it's kind of funny that people sometimes say it's too small to be a Bigfoot track. So those are people don't know what they're talking about.
Right. Well, yeah. Are you guys in an area that you've been to before, or is this a new area for you?
Oh, it's a new area for me. John's been here. I'll put him on and let him describe the area because he lives pretty close to here. Hold on a second. Here's John, Pine Martin.
Hey, PK.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I was just asking Mojo if this was a new area for you guys or if you had been there before.
It's a new area for Mojo and I together. Rusty and I have been up here before. This was the area that I was in about 2 weeks ago, and I got the wood knocks in reply to my knocking.
That's pretty cool. What's the area like? I mean, is it thick, dense brush, or is there kind of like meadows and whatnot?
Oh, no, it's thick. It's mostly second growth hemlock trees. I'd say they're probably 50 years old, about 2 feet to 30 inches in diameter, and it's just thicker than hair on a dog's back. We'll send you a photo of it, what it looks like through the trees. Years and years ago, there was cedar in here. Yeah, we're real close to salt water, probably as the crow flies, probably a mile to a mile and a half from the salt water. And, the fog just comes in and grows trees huge down here. But they logged the cedar off back in the bad old days. Now it's grown up in hemlock and some spruce. But, How did you? It was a squatchy spot.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Definitely sounds like it. What did you think of that track you guys found already?
Well, it's not the ideal track. It's on a hard bed road with mud right on the shoulder area. So you can't really get a perfect track because you've got maybe a half an inch to an inch of mud kind of on the edges of the road. Mm-hmm. And then the center's all packed down hard with gravel so the logging trucks could go out. So it doesn't have the detail we'd like. Plus, it's been raining on it for a few days. But it doesn't look like a boot print. The ratios don't seem right.
It doesn't look like a boot print to me either from the photo. I mean, you can see toes.
Yeah. It looks like toes. And the heel seems too wide and not defined like a heel. Because usually a boot has a heel and then a raised section over the arch and then the sole. And it doesn't exhibit any of that. So I'm going to say, I think it's a squatch track that's not in perfect substrate and it's been rained on. But I'm going to say it's not an optimal quality squatch track. But
so I take it there's no dermal ridges or any defining things like that. Not if it's been rained on anyway.
No, and like I said, it's been raining all day on and off. That's what they call 10% chance of rain out here.
Yeah. So I grew up in an area like that. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Real quick while I have you on the phone, I want to hear firsthand your encounter with infrasound.
Oh, well, boy, we were, Dean, he's coming up Friday. He's another one of our members.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Oregon. He'll be up on Friday. Dean and I went out to Woodnock. It was about 11 o'clock at night. It's October, first part of October. Not sure of the date anymore. It was 2010, but moonlit night, not full moon, but probably about two-thirds, three-quarters of a full moon. You could see. It was easy to walk around in the woods. And we went out to Woodnock about 11 o'clock. We knock, and we heard something off in the brush about 75 yards away. What's that? And they go, I don't know. It's probably an elk. And then Dean goes, what's that sound? And I go, well, I can't really hear it. I work in a factory. But he says, it sounds like when the river floods and the rocks roll on the bottom of the river, a real low-frequency rumble sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, I'll have to take your word for it. So I go, well, let's go knock farther down this little blocked-off logging road. So we go walking out of the brush line and go back in, farther in. And I start knocking, and Dean gets creeped out. And he goes, well, we got to go. So I'm going, oh, God, he's getting scared. And he goes, we're not welcome here. We got to go now. And I go, well, be cool. So we start walking back to the rig. And Risky, one of our members, was sitting on the bumper of Dean's Jeep, just kind of watching us. And I'm trying to keep Dean cool as we're walking back. And I go, yeah, one time it was summertime. I was camping. It was really hot. So I wasn't wearing anything. So I just slipped on a pair of shoes and went out and did some wood knocks about 1 a.m. when I woke up. And I figured the vision of me doing nude wood knocking would kind of mellow Dean out with a, you know, creep him out, but mellow him out.
Might get a little of both.
Yeah. If he laughs, it's hard to be scared if they're laughing.
Yeah, that's true.
So we go walking back to camp there, and Risky goes, "You guys aren't going to believe what I just saw." And I go, "Well, what?" He goes, "When you guys came out of the brush, something came out behind you, took off running on all fours, and then stood up and ran like a man." And he goes, "And he runs faster than any Seahawk running back." And I'm thinking, "Dude, we didn't hear anything. Are you sure?" He goes, "Yeah." And we're leaning against these big cement blocks that they use to close off a logging road when they don't want people to drive down them. And we're leaning against those, and he's telling us, and I'm kind of incredulous because I'm going, "Well, you know, we've heard something, but you'd think if something ran behind us, came within like 10 or 15 yards, we would have heard it." And all of a sudden, Dean's head drops down onto the cement block, and he's kind of in between two blocks. He kind of drops down and says he feels sick. Boom, falls over backwards in the blackberry bushes. Risky goes, man down, are you okay?" And Gene's like, "Oh, all ill and incapacitated." And I go, it's just like a light bulb in my brain went off, and I go, "I don't know what's going on here, but Risky says that Steve," we call him Risky, "Risky says there's a Bigfoot out there, and this is going on. He's responsible for this somehow." I go, "This is bullshit." And I grab my wood knocking bat, and I go walking around the cement blocks. I'm going to go out in the woods and knock on a tree or make him shut up or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as I round those blocks, it's hitting me hard. And it's just like wading into the surf, where just a wave after wave hits you as you're trying to get out so you can jump up on your board and paddle out into the waves. Only it wasn't surf, obviously. It's like electric pulses or something. It was making all the hair on my body stand up like it was doing the wave. And I'm going, and I had to get really angry to get a big adrenaline rush to kind of power through it. And I go out, and I come to the first tree, and I just go whack and hit it as hard as I could with my baseball bat, and it stopped just like you'd flick the light switch. And then Dean says, "I'm good." He was fine. I mean, the minute it stopped, he was okay again.
So it went off like a light switch for both of you at the same time.
Yeah. Right when I hit the tree, it just stopped. And we're like, "Whoa, what just happened here?" So Risky kind of huddles us and we're talking about it. Like, what are we experiencing? And we're kind of talking about our experiences, what he saw, what Dean felt, what I felt. And we noticed, comparing notes kind of like in that huddle session, that my sense of how long we'd been out there and how long we were at the second location differed from Dean's. And Dean's was a lot closer to Risky. So it's kind of like my sense of time was a little altered or inaccurate.
Did you feel like it was longer than it should have been or less?
No, it seemed much shorter to me.
Hmm.
Dean said, "No, we've been there a few minutes," because I thought, you know, we've been there like 2 minutes, and Dean's scared. He's like, "No, we were there like 5-10 minutes. So, and the whole thing seemed like the time was just kind of compressed to me.
That's really weird.
Yeah, and it was just, and it was hard to recall all those little detail points for me. But the next morning we got up. Actually, I should digress. I thought, if I don't get Dean back out in the woods and go knock again, I'll probably never get him out in the woods to knock again.
Yeah, you got to get him on that horse.
Yeah. So we walked out and went the other way down this logging road, knocked on a tree, and we sat there and we go, nothing. Walked back to camp. But it kind of put a finality to it there. And then it's like, now it's safe to wood knock again. And the next morning I got up and I go, that's just too weird. All of this is too weird. So before anybody else was up, I grabbed a radio. Owen, I should say, Risky admonished us for not having a radio with us because he wanted to call us and tell us he saw something run behind us and disappear into the shadows of the tree, big grove of trees caused by the moonlight. So I went down towards that grove of trees the next day and looked, and sure enough, I could see where something had crawled. It looked like a man, if he'd crawled on his belly, knee, elbow, prints in the grass. Because being October, it got cold that night, and it kind of frosted the grass, and it kind of bruises the grass stem, so you can see these darker spots in the grass in that pattern. And from where that was, you could see exactly the tree we were knocking on. And so I got on the radio and called back to camp and brought everybody down. Well, by the time they got there, it had warmed up a little. It took 10 minutes to get down. And the grass blades were just starting to rise up with the sun warming them up. But they could still see all the depressions in the grass in that crawling type pattern. So we had the kind of the track verifications of what we'd, you know, kind of experienced the night before. And that, and we didn't know diddly squat about infrasound. So, I mean, I went home and did net research on it. And the first, you know, you type in infrasound and Google wants to do the thinking for you. So it'll give all these suggestions. And one of them was infrasound weapon. So I looked at that and it's going, causes disorientation, time loss, confusion, nausea, and unconsciousness. And I go, well, that pretty much sounds like our evening.
You're lucky they didn't give you the brown note.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that was about with infrasound.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about having the quote-unquote infrasound hangover.
Oh, yeah. So I was on like a Saturday night, and so Sunday would be the infrasound after day, and then the day two afterwards, I'm back at work, and it's like you feel super sharp, or at least I felt super sharp, kind of like, I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express or something, or like I described it, I said, I almost feel like a Greek god or something, because I felt super on top of my game. Like you're thinking really fast and just ultra sharp. And so I went over in the other part of the building where a buddy of mine worked, and he was a squatcher too. And I talked to him about infrasound, and I said, yeah, I got zapped with infrasound over the weekend. He goes, oh, welcome to the club. And I said, yeah, I'm kind of experiencing an infrasound hangover. And I described it to him. He goes, yeah. He goes, it's kind of like that. You feel real energized or supercharged, he said. But, he goes, and it lasts for about 3-4 days, and then it kind of fades away. So, yeah, it's like you definitely want to get doused with infrasound before you went on Jeopardy or something.
So, but, yeah, like before you go on a first date or a job interview?
Yeah, exactly.
I know that you had a Class A encounter when you were with your lady friend. I forget her name now.
Oh, you're probably thinking Risky.
Oh, maybe
had a Class A.
Maybe I am.
Yeah, when he was, when they drove into the gas station and told the attendant.
Right, yep. Oh, that was Risky.
Yeah, that was Risky. One of the co-founders with Mojo. I've never seen one. I had the bad luck or whatever to have one run behind me.
Yeah. Bad luck. Oh, they didn't get to see it.
Crows are going nuts.
We went out last weekend, and the crows went absolutely crazy. It was a,
yeah.
So I think that's a good sign, because we actually did get some good activity.
Yeah, we got a couple crows just going nuts. And the woods have been really quiet for periods today, too. Mojo commented on it.
That's always a disconcerting.
Yeah, we've had some
there.
Excitement. Yeah, we had a bear woof at us.
Was it a bear? Did you guys figure out that was a bear?
Well, it sounded like a bear. I mean, odds are it was a bear.
Yeah.
It was a bear sound that came out of the woods anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got my fingers crossed for you guys. I hope you get some good stuff while you're out there.
Okay. If we get anything cool, we'll share it with you.
Awesome. Pass me back to Mojo real quick. I want to ask him what's next.
Okay, he's staring at crows right now. Here he is. Hey, what's going on, PK?
Oh, I just wanted to ask you, what's the plan? What are you guys going to do for this excursion?
Well, basically tonight we might be running the roads tonight. We got three vehicles here, three of us right now, John, myself, and Rusty. We got the 4x4 pickup truck. John and I might run the roads tonight. Yeah, normally we'd run the roads with the thermal, but the thermal is occupied on top of the van in the two cam setup. So we'll definitely do some wood knocking and maybe run the roads tonight and see if we can hear or see anything. And probably going to put out my Zoom H2 audio recorder. I like to do that. I'll put a microphone outside and I'll run the output of the microphone into my van into some stereo speakers. And I'll listen to what's happening in the woods all night. It's kind of neat to fall asleep listening to the woods. And when it rains, it's kind of, the pitter-patter of the rain kind of helps you sleep.
Yeah.
But if I hear anything, I'll be able to jump on the flat screen monitor. And we're probably going to keep the thermal camera on. Well, we're definitely going to keep the thermal camera on top of the van on all night. I'm probably going to have it pointed in a designated area where we might put out some bait and have it record all night. And if I hear something, I'll be able to turn on the monitor and scan around. If I hear anything, I'll be able to scan around and look. Actually, I'll probably just randomly, I tend to wake up once or twice or three times a night. And anyway, I'm not sure why. I just always wake up. So I wake up and check out the camp 360 degrees of the thermal and see if anything's shaking out here. And if I do get something, a thermal hit, then I can light it up with the IR camera. So, yeah, definitely going to do that tonight. We'll definitely wood knocking and maybe run the roads tonight. And tomorrow we'll probably we did a lot of hiking today. I don't know. Those pictures I took, that picture of that huge cedar stump, it was probably logged 100 years ago, but the actual tree itself was many hundreds of years old. But we did a long hike today, and we really didn't see anything super significant. It was raining, and it was muddy. It was sort of fun. I got all sweaty, wearing my parka with a fleece liner. I was getting kind of hot, so we came back. And Rusty and I walked up and down the forest road. That's when Rusty saw that track. So, we'll get up tomorrow. We'll probably hike in a different direction and see what we can find and spend another night tomorrow night and then head back to meet Dean on Friday and then probably go somewhere else or maybe come back to the same place. Depends on how tonight and tomorrow night goes.
Right. Yeah. If you get a bunch of activity, you're probably going to want to come back, you think?
To the same place, yeah.
Yeah.
If we get something shaking here tonight, we'll definitely come back. If not, we might, it's a huge forest. There's, we drove in about 5 miles up the mountain and down the other side. There's plenty of spots to camp. It's just that, is one spot any better than the other? It's hard to tell you. You just don't know until you, that's what we've done for many, many years. We've just gone around till we found a place that we get some activity and then we try to go back to it.
Yeah. I wonder how much they travel. Like, we went out last weekend and we got the first night we had activity and then the second night was like nothing. It was like whatever it was had decided we were not interesting anymore and didn't want to come around.
Yeah, that happens. I tell people 90+% of the time nothing's going to happen. You're not going to see anything. You're not going to hear anything. You're not going to find anything. So that's part of squatching, That's why you just make the best of it. And you barbecue, you build a fire, and you camp,
Yep. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that you guys are at least in the right area, it sounds like.
Yeah, and there's no people around so far. You'll hear vehicles in the distance on the forest roads. But it's, middle of the week, so
yep.
If it was a weekend, you might have more people out here. You're hearing gunshots and stuff, people out here target shooting, God knows where they're doing that at. But the weekend's usually more active with people. So the middle of the week is kind of good to get out. So we have all the squatch to ourselves.
How did you find that spot? Was it a tip that you got from somebody or just a place
no,
that you
John,
decided to go?
John and Rusty moved down here to Southwest Washington last year. And John's been kind of running the roads occasionally, just looking for ideal spots. The spots we're looking for are areas that, we can get 2, 3, 4 vehicles into and that it's accessible with, a van, because we usually travel in our van.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some places you just can't go. And there's miles and miles of forest road, but there's no turnoffs and there's no place to, really set up a camp. So you got to find a place that is big enough for 3, 4 vehicles, and that's it. We just got to find a place to park the vehicles, and we'll just take it from there,
Right. Well, that's cool. Well, I guess I will let you get back to it. Keep
All right, man, we'll send you updates.
Yeah, definitely. If you get anything else, feel free to give me a call. If you've got howls or something happening, definitely call me.
Okay, yeah, if we get something audio-wise that you might be able to hear on the phone, we'll give you a call.
Perfect. Sounds good.
All right, man, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.